You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, April 10th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here, metaphorically, up north and out west. Wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or watching us on social media or by app or by podcast, we appreciate you spending part of your Thursday with us. I got a question for you. What was your embarrassment level coming into yesterday about Derek Van Orden being a member of Congress in the 3rd Congressional District? Because whatever that number is, whatever that level is, it's going to go up a little bit after you hear the audio we're going to play of him screaming at a witness during a committee hearing on Tuesday. He got very defensive about cutting billions of dollars in benefits and is very much in denial about that. We'll also talk to Joe Zepecki about not only the denial about the cuts that are being proposed for the budget, as if all of it is waste, fraud, and abuse, but also the tariffs, the tariff flip-flop. Has flipped, or it's flopped. Greg has audio, actually, of the flip-flopping taking place in the White House, because I don't know if it's even-numbered days that they agree with tariffs, the odd-numbered days, however it is, they're back off again, at least for right now. Do we have that audio from the White House anymore?
Of
the flip-flop, flip-flopping that's literally going on there?
I do not have, here we go, sorry. There it is.
You worked so hard to get that. I just wanted
like
to give
a
it
year
every opportunity.
Ago.
I know, and there it was, right at your fingertips.
I thought you were
right there.
When you say there's audio from the White House, I'm like, oh no, oh God. What am I looking for? I'm looking for someone talking, right? Because, Pat, let us. While that was a wonderful joke, C-plus execution on my part.
we didn't
see
cover
that
it in rehearsal. I understand.
We are now seeing all these top people in the White House. I saw the best tweet. It was Trump invokes the tariffs. Yeah, we're going to make them pay. He backs down. Art of the deal, man.
Yeah, I kept hearing this. Art of the deal.
None of us know how to play 3D chess. That's the thing. That's what I'm learning. None of us know how to play 3D chess because that's the only game that Donald Trump plays, apparently.
That's exactly it. Or maybe there's something more to it. Joe Zepecki is going to join us a little bit later on, and we're going to talk about some other suspicions about what might be behind all these wild swings in the stock market, you know, where some people, they have the means to, you know, play it when it's high and play it again when it's low. So we'll talk to Joe about that. In our second hour, we will talk to a member of the Joint Finance Committee. That would be State Representative Tip McGuire of the Kenosha area will join us. The Joint Finance Committee Democrats were on the road this week continuing to listen to people. Their concerns about cuts and underinvestment in things like, you know, the education of our children, and the money that's being diverted instead to tax cuts for the wealthy. And that's not just in Congress. In the legislature, there's a $4 billion surplus there. And while some of it could go to tax relief, there are definitely people there that would like all of it to go to tax cuts, primarily skewed to the highest tax bracket, the highest income bracket. So we'll talk to Representative McGuire about that. We'll visit with Luke Mathers. We will have Brittany Merlot with her forecast in here as well. Her report to us to kick off the show says that this is basically it, the last day of cool temperatures and scattered showers before a weekend warm-up. So the forecast goes like this for the state: patchy fog this morning, cloudy and cool, highs statewide in the mid to upper 40s with an east wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s to low 30s, and calm winds. Temperatures at the bus stop this morning, pretty much the same as yesterday and very consistent all around the state. It's 38 here. Well, not here, what would be here if I were back home on Lake Wissota, 38 in Chippewa Falls, 37 in Hayward, 38 in Amory, 35 in Wausau, Rapids at 34, La Crosse is at 40, Green Bay 38, Madison 35, Milwaukee 38, and it's 37 at Radio Park, where we find Greg Bach this morning as well. A reminder that you can check out our newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner there. Christina Laurie's got a story about the UW Marching Band and Wisconsin's proud history of marching bands, and also a story about a literary road trip. You're going to hear us talking more about road trips over the coming weeks here. It's one of our favorite subjects once we get closer to summertime, is, you know, the ability with, you know, a tank of gas to get to some cool places around the state. You haven't seen them all, so we're always happy to give you some more ideas on the things that you can do. And by the way, still taking answers for our question of the week for our Sunday morning newsletter, which is primarily focused on politics and talking about the aforementioned tax relief. If we gave you a couple of different options for how you would handle tax relief, which of the options would you pick? And again, plenty of people have sent in none of the above, that they'd like to see, you know, schools better funded and things like that. But you can give us your thoughts on how best to do tax relief in the state budget. Radio at upnorthnewswi.com is the email address for that. All right, well, let's go ahead and start right away on Derek Van Orten, because there's no reason not to share the appalling behavior that he put on display on Tuesday at a hearing of the House Agriculture Committee. Here's today's civics lesson. Don't think that telling us that you were raised poor makes you some kind of an expert in cutting aid to the poor once you're not poor anymore. It doesn't work that way. Van Orden is still sitting on the House Ag Committee, where nothing has been accomplished. The farm bill has been punted year after year now. And so the House Ag Committee is not talking about ways to get a farm bill passed to help farmers and to help with supplemental nutrition programs. Instead, under the House Republican budget plan, that is, you know, still under deliberation how much the House wants to cut versus how much Senate Republicans want to cut. The House Republicans want to cut a lot more. And for the Department of Agriculture, the USDA, they're talking about $235 billion in cuts. Okay? That's, you're not going to find $235 billion in waste, although Derek Van Orden would like to disagree with that. And he did disagree with one of the witnesses, Dr. Diane Schazenbach, a professor at Northwestern University. She studies nutritional and health education programs for their effectiveness. She's an expert. She testified about the harm that would be done to some families if those benefits were cut. And by the way, cutting sometimes just also means putting in work requirements that are so stringent that you lose your benefits because you can't possibly find work in your area that lives up to it, or you have circumstances at home, either with a child or a family member or something like that. And there are exceptions, but they're talking about closing those exceptions to the work requirements. And so Dr. Schazenbach was talking about the impact on families if you cut benefits or make it tougher to get the benefits for SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, colloquially known as food stamps for low-income households. And Derek Van Orden wants you to know that as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom, and they had government cheese, and that he was a hungry child. Just for fair disclosure, me too. So, also raised by a single child, also knew how to go down to the welfare office and wait in line for your book of food stamps so that we could afford groceries. So in no way does that make me the expert that Dr. Schazenbach is. But when it was time for committee members to ask questions of all the witnesses, each member of Congress gets 5 minutes. Some use that time to ask constructive questions and get more information from the experts. Others use their 5 minutes to make a speech or to, you know, make a fool of themselves. And I'm not going to subject you to the whole 5 minutes. Here is a 2-minute summary, I left out the part about Derek Van Orden being poor growing up, but now you understand it. So we're going to hear how he treated this witness, about 2 minutes worth, and then we'll talk more about it on the other side of the break. But here, kids, is your congressman.
Hey, I want to clear the air, and I'm going to dispel some things. If you're receiving benefits from the federal government lawfully as an American citizen, your benefits are not going to be reduced by a nickel. Okay, I'm going to say it again. If you're an American citizen that is lawfully receiving benefits from the federal government, your benefits will not be reduced by a nickel. Write that down. Things have changed. And the same people that told you during the last budgetary cycle that Republicans are going to cut Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, WIC, SNAP, they lied to you. They lied openly to the American public. They're the same people that lied to you and are fear-mongering with hungry children and those most in need in our country. And it's unacceptable and it's despicable. This should be a nonpartisan committee. They're lying. I'm over it. Stop it. You're wrong. My Democrat colleagues, there's billions and billions and billions of dollars in fraud with these programs. Refining a program does not say getting rid of the program. It's refining it. Dr. Schausenbach, you said that work requirements are really good at getting people off of SNAP. What's the purpose of SNAP? To be on SNAP forever?
No, but we want people to leave SNAP because their earnings go up.
Hey, doctor, how many years did you go to school?
A lot.
Like how many?
17.
Okay, so I dropped out of high school as a sophomore. The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. The metric of success are people who are working. Are you familiar with
Source? But they're not working.
Are you familiar?
It's dropping off.
Don't interrupt me. And what you're talking about is perpetuating the cycle of poverty. And you're trying to enslave Americans and keep them repressed. And that is below the dignity of your station, ma'am. I yield back.
The dignity of your station. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make. If Derek Van Orden has a specific plan about cutting $235 billion without cutting a nickel's worth of benefits, hey, I'm ready to hear it. But we haven't heard it from Donald Trump, Elon Musk, or anybody else. We'll talk more about this. We'll break down what he had to say, but I wanted you to hear the full scope of his behavior before we pause. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I'm sorry. We'll get into the tariffs later. I should have set that up. Tom Petty saying I won't break, and then a record needle just scratches right across the record, and a Donald Trump voice going, "Never mind." But we'll talk. We'll talk
I
about
guess
pulling back the tariffs.
We'll back down,
right? In sports, I think this Jackson Churio kid is catching on.
Can we pay him even more money right now? Because I don't want to lose him ever.
Well, that's the thing. We paid him a lot before he even played a game.
I
we
know.
We got him locked in for, what, 7 years?
Yeah, I just don't want to lose him. I don't know how, but I feel like the Brewers would find a way to lose him. They're like,
we
left him in Montana, and now he just lives there.
I saw him traipsing through Idaho here. Game two of a series in Colorado last night, and Churio got 5 runs batted in thanks to a home run and a double. The Brewers beat up on the Rockies 17-2. They've already taken 2 of the 3 games, giving Milwaukee its first series win in Colorado in 7 years. Bryce Terang had two singles to give him a hit in all 12 games he's played in. The franchise record to open a season is 13 games by Dickie Thon in 1993. And get this, after starting 0-4, and all those games were in March, the Brewers' record so far in April is 8 games played, 7 wins.
Yeah.
They will wrap up the series with the Rockies at 1:35 this afternoon, and you'll be able to hear that game this afternoon on several Civic Media radio stations, including the Brewers' newest affiliate up north, WBZH in Hayward. Head over to Civic Media's website to learn more. The Milwaukee Bucks are playing New Orleans at home later this evening as the regular season starts to wind down. We'll have Joe Zepecki here in just over 10 minutes to talk more about this. But getting back to our congressman for Western and Central Wisconsin, Derek Van Orden, there's a lot that can be said about the content of his remarks, and I'm going to get into it. But Greg, you heard that for the very first time. A lot of people heard it for the first time when we heard yesterday that he had done this, and we went and found the tape. And I got to say, we played the tape the first time. We're like, oh, yeah, okay, there's Derek Van Orden doing Derek Van Orden things again.
Yeah.
And yet, even though it's not a surprise, it's no less disappointing.
It never is. That's the thing is. If you tell me he's yelling at someone, I'm like, well, then he's in his natural form. That's how he's always happy being aggressive towards. And he's really happy being aggressive towards women. I'm not going to lie about that. I see a lot of things of him like snapping back at people, yelling. And it's a lot of times. And in this time, we have a very educated woman speaking solemnly on a nuanced topic. And what does he just do? You don't know anything. I dropped out of high school. So
did you go to school? How many years did you go to school? Yeah. You know what I did? I dropped out as a sophomore. So I know things. You don't get it.
I was waiting for him to say, I have a PhD from the School of Hard Knocks or the School of Life.
I was waiting for that, too. He did talk about going to college in his 40s and law school in his 50s. And, of course, you know, he served as a Navy SEAL, and we thank him for his service in the Navy, not so much in Congress. But yeah, this tone of, well, you're a professor. And I see this in the comment section a lot, too, when we've had other people on from higher education. And it has become so almost cliche to attack people with a higher education as somehow not getting it. And it really is hard to – I can't tell who's looking down whose noses more. There were too many people going, oh, people with a degree, they look down their nose at blue-collar workers. And I would argue, no, actually, it's flipped nowadays. There are far too many people who look down their noses at people who actually stayed in school, got an education, and became an expert at something. And it's wrong either way.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, is the attitude either way has got to calm down. But Derek Van Orden is not big on calming down.
Well, when you have leadership in the White House who is surrounded by a bunch of highly educated people as well who – probably got to their schools via grandpa's money, and they're telling the American public, well, they're elites, they don't know what they're talking about, you're the real people, you know America. It's not a recipe for anything good. And honestly, it doesn't matter the position, because if they speak about something that don't agree with, so in this situation she was talking about SNAP, but she was talking about benefits. You're highly educated. You don't understand. We had Randy Manner on here, retired major general, talking about the world stage and how tariffs will affect that in our relationship with NATO. Things that someone referred to him as a lifelong government employee. Like, it doesn't matter what they do. And if we had a high school dropout on here talking about abortion access, they'd be like, they're a bum. They didn't finish high school. What do they know? So there's never a situation in which there's a relatable.
No,
like, there's a relation.
You can always personally belittle the person rather than argue on the issues.
Exactly.
And so arguing on the issues here, I just want to pull out some more of his comments here, where he talks about how Democrats lied when they fear-mongered about cuts to Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, WIC, SNAP. And he's saying that those cuts didn't happen. The reason those cuts didn't happen isn't that they weren't proposed. They were. Congress, the Republicans were too dysfunctional to pass a budget. So they did these continuing resolutions every couple of months. Remember, we heard about, oh, there's going to be a government shutdown, going to be a government shutdown. There never was, but there was also never the budget they wanted to pass with these cuts because they knew the level of public opposition. Now, once Trump won and got back in the White House, they were feeling their oats and saying, okay, now we're going to do these cuts. Well, next thing you know, there's 5 million people in the streets. George Soros did not pay $5 million to take to the streets. These are constituents, and they know your game. They're showing their disapproval with you. Some of them are experts in their field. They're trying to urge you to take a different approach. Maybe fight inflation. Maybe help people with job skills instead of cutting the funding for these programs so that you can have more tax cuts. By the way, speaking of the, you know, the inflation and the price of eggs, interesting story that I saw yesterday. Cal-Maine, one of the nation's biggest egg producers, announced this week that their profits had tripled. I'm going to say that again. The biggest egg distributor out there, their profits tripled. And they're taking $500 million and applying it to stock buybacks. They're not using it to build back up their supply of hens after the avian flu outbreak because low supply keeps the prices high. Also, Department of Justice this week directed prosecutors to stop litigation against people accused of cryptocurrency fraud. So there's just market manipulation going on left and right. Joe Zepecki wants to talk a bit about that as well. But the bottom line is this. Take away the numbers. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. It doesn't make you manly. It doesn't make you a good Navy SEAL. It doesn't make you anything like the kindly grandfather you pretend to be in your campaign ads. The bottom line, as I know, and you should know too, you can be raised by a single mom and still not be a jackass. Joe Zepecki is next. Back now on a Thursday, and look, after all that talk about the Derek Van Orden screaming at people, I think it's time for something a little bit more sedate.
It's time for me to scream at people.
Joe Zepecki is here. We're going to get to Derek Van Orden and the screaming and the denials and everything else. But first off, I know we're, 48 hours removed now. But how about your Bucks and Bobby Portis back on the team and that 23-point fourth quarter comeback?
Love to have Bobby back. Love it when the Goonies never say die. You know, the fifth seed is what it looks like we're going to be locked in for the playoffs. And that's our lowest seed in quite a while. But anytime you got Giannis, you are a tough out. And so it seems like we're playing good ball at the right time, which is heading into the playoffs. Could be fun. Could be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, look, all of our teams are making things interesting. You got your Brewers, starting 0-4 and then, doing
rattling
better.
Off 4 in a row.
I know. It's like the weather. Our whole theme here is roller coasters. Tariffs. We'll talk about the tariff roller coaster too, but let's come back to Congressman Van Orden and not so much the screaming at a witness. We've heard that from him before, but this whole notion of being in denial, I would say, to say that you're going to cut, $230 billion from the USDA, you're not going to specify how the cuts are made so that when you're told, well, why are you cutting SNAP? You can angrily deny it and call everybody a liar, but Joe, I want to think the circle is shrinking of the people who fail to recognize the math ain't mathin' on that kind of a claim.
Yeah, and listen, we have all seen Congressman Van Orden act the fool before, and we will again. And I can't recall anything quite this nasty in a congressional hearing. And it is not his only setting. And so I would just posit this. Republicans are feeling the pressure. They know that they have a bad hand because they are stuck with Donald Trump as president. And they're feeling the pressure because people are putting the pressure on. People are raising their voices. People are taking to the streets at the incredible hands-off protest last weekend. They know they've got a bad hand and they're stuck with it. And we've seen this kind of move, like on SNAP, before, where they say, well, it's a budget framework, and the budget framework says this committee has to cut between $880 billion and $2.2 trillion, and we'll figure out the rest of it later. And then when anyone with a brain looks at what jurisdiction that committee has, they go, oh, man, We're talking about at minimum an $800 billion cut from Medicaid, and Republicans can protest all they want and say, no, we haven't cut Medicaid yet. This is just an outline. It's like, well, that's the only way the math maths. And let's focus on Congressman Van Orden and his district, the 3rd District, a rural, mostly small towns, couple of mid-sized cities, you know, Eau Claire, La Crosse, 140,131 Wisconsinites who live in the 3rd District benefit from Medicaid. And at the levels of cuts they're talking about, $880 billion total, when you chop that down district by district, the 3rd CD will see a funding loss of $1.7 billion with a B. That doesn't just affect the 140,000 souls who get some level of benefit from Medicaid. It also impacts the businesses in the 3rd Congressional District who do things like transportation services and staffing services. And so all of these Republicans are feeling the heat, and Van Orden just doesn't have the temperament to hide it very well or even pretend to play it cool. And to me, that's what's happening, is they're just all feeling the pressure.
Well, and imagine feeling that pressure when you've been defending the president on these tariffs and saying, you know, oh, trust the process, basically. Yes. Trust the process. And there's no process. And suddenly the president pulls the rug out from under you and just in the middle of the day, and you're left going, how am I, you know, if you're a Republican right now, losing your temper is not justified. But as Chris Rock likes to say, you know, but I understand it. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. And that's exactly where we're at right now.
I'm not sure there's any understanding this, though. I mean, there's no policy process. In real time yesterday, you had the U.S. Trade Representative saying he hadn't spoken to the president about the latest reversal, where now we are upping the tariffs on China even more, but we're rolling back the tariffs on everybody else to 10%, even though 24 hours ago, the president said that we're not discussing or thinking about a pause at all. I mean, they are literally making this up as they go along and just trying to put lipstick on every pig in the pen. And the way they tried to do it yesterday was by saying, well, the stock market rallied today. The president must be a genius. The president has no idea what he's doing. The equivalent of this is like, if I were to grab you, Pat, by the scruff of your neck and dangle you over the edge of a 30-story building before I pulled you back onto the roof. The story isn't, I just saved your life. The story is, I dang near killed you. And that's what Trump is doing with the global economy and with long-term U.S. interests. And I'll just say this one last thing. Stock markets go up and down. They do. There's going to be good days. There's going to be bad days. The total amount of wealth that has vanished due to the market turbulence since January 20th is a big number. And it's going to shock some people. And there's a cost that is even greater than the market fluctuations, which is the rest of the world is looking to America and going, we can't trust you guys anymore. It is good for our economy that the U.S. dollar is the global reserve currency. And now the dollar is falling. You know, things like bonds and yields and economic stuff that you and I can't, like, we're not economics professors, but all of the strength of the American economy was based on our values and our consistency and our dependability. And Donald Trump has fractured all of that. And there are short-term costs. People's 401k is taking a hit. People's financial advisor saying, listen, I thought you're going to be able to only have to work another 3 years, but actually it's going to be more like 6 or 7. And that's a real impact on people. But there's also going to be an impact down the road that is harder to quantify. So the world is going to have a hard time trusting the United States unless we very quickly move beyond this type of, you know, fly by the seat of your pants, make it up as you go along trade policy, because that's what we have. And nobody can deny that with a straight face.
No, and I think I didn't follow this in real time yesterday, but I recall seeing out of the corner of my eye a headline about this big sell-off on bonds in U.S. bonds, which is like the safe haven, and that the world was no longer seeing even U.S. bonds as a safe haven. And I for a moment before I got distracted, it was like, ooh, that's not good. Because if there's one thing every amateur investor does as they get closer to retirement is they move things from stocks to bonds. And so, again, I don't know the TikTok on it, but it wasn't that long after that headline about bonds being sold off that you heard Trump's reversal. And it was like, okay, something finally got somebody to talk straight to him and at least make this change. But again, what does this change? This change is temporary.
Change is temporary. And in the short term, it made a lot of people a bunch of money. And that's the other, like, more even insidious part of this is you just know we are going to find out that in the same way that, like, Margie Taylor Greene shorted the market before the tariffs were announced in the first place, that there are people with insider information who knew that Donald Trump was going to enact this pause who probably made millions in the markets. Like, that's the track record of this crowd, and it's what we should expect that we will see until they demonstrate otherwise. It's not just that they're making it up as they go along. It's that we also can't count on them for any kind of, like, what you would come to expect as standard operational and information security. I mean, heck, they're putting attack plans in the Houthi PC small group signal chat. Right? So who's to say that there's not, you know, the president's favorites signal chat where 20 members of Congress were able to quickly call their brokers and tell them to buy or sell according to what, you know, they knew was coming. And that's the kind of backroom dealing, white collar crime that the Trump administration has literally instructed DOJ to de-emphasize prosecutions of. And so that's what you're going to get is the grift is strong, even if the economy isn't.
Oh, yes. And look, never a better opportunity for Democrats to go on offense, which is my pivot to what's been happening in Wisconsin this week with Democratic members of the Joint Finance Committee going down the road. And we will be talking to one of those members, Tip McGuire, in our next hour during this time slot. Before we get to that, we'll ask you about that because the Joint Finance Committee does have its four public hearings, but people have to wait hours and hours sometimes to get to testify. Good on the Democratic members for adding a couple of extra stops on their own to listen to people. This is no time for Democratic members of the legislature to just sit around and wait for the Republicans to write their draft and then criticize it. People want to feel listened to right now, Joe, as these things work their way through.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we saw with thousands of people in the streets last week. And it's the reality of the moment that we have to oppose the Trump administration at every turn. We have to hold accountable the Republicans who have enabled this administration and this most un-American of American presidents. And part of that is not just shooting at politically what they put out, but offering a better vision for the state and for the country. And so my hat's off to Tip and LaTanya and Deb and the rest of them. It's a really great group of Democrats on Joint Finance. Really excited to see them hitting the road, telling the story. There is a better way. We can make smart, strategic, long-term investments in things like education and workforce. And that stands in very stark contrast with what we're seeing out of Washington and the ways in which it's going to impact the state budget. I can't hammer this home enough. The $800 billion cuts to Medicaid, we just did the math on what that means for the third district, $1.7 billion. That's also going to leave a massive hole in the state budget. In a two-year budget cycle, which is how we do our budgets, I think it's two out of every $3 that the state spends on Medicaid comes back from the feds. Those are our tax dollars that go to Washington. Washington turns around, sends them back here. And as a result, people don't have to go to the emergency room for the most expensive time of care. They can stay in their home, live a life of dignity. They can work. They can get transportation to and from their job, which means somebody else has a job taking them. All of a sudden, if you start hacking away at those $2 that the feds have been good for years, there's an impact. And it means less money for schools, less money for a tax cut. And I'm not sure we have fully reckoned with that part of this, but the downstream effects like that one are going to be real and are going to be pronounced. And all we need is a couple Republican members of Congress to stand up and say, no, this is lunacy. I mean, for crying out loud, Steve Bannon is out there saying, don't touch Medicaid. but these Republican members of Congress can't help themselves, or so it would seem. Keep calling, keep up the pressure. This would be a stage 5 hurricane barreling across the United States if it is allowed to pass.
I wish I was ending on a positive note, but one more topic we didn't hit was the fact that over 24 students throughout the universities of Wisconsin system have had their visas suspended immediately and have to leave the country. So I think it comes back to what you said earlier about trust, international trust in the United States. I would argue even more so than the markets and trust there was the trust that if you came here as a tourist or as a student or as an employee, you were going to be coming to the greatest country on earth. You were going to be welcomed. You would learn things. You'd go back home or you'd decide to stay here. And that is something I fear is going to be really tough to rebuild just when Wisconsin really needs an influx of people who are going to be part of the jobs of the future.
Here, I'll put an even finer point on it. No one is safer today because 27 UW students had their visas revoked. No one, not one single person is safer. When there are dangerous thugs who are here illegally and they're committing heinous crimes, yeah, get them out of here. They get a hearing, they get, you know, show cause and get them out of here. But willy-nilly revoking visas is one thing and one thing only. It is racist. Racist policy that is now taking away the opportunity to learn for these young people.
So now we end as we began on the positive note, the last couple of games of the regular season for the Bucks. So when we talk next, it will be playoff time. So we've got that going for us. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much. Have a good start to the weekend.
You too.
Back with more after this. You're Up North.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
One of the musical mysteries of the 1980s is, why were Katrina and the Waves a one-hit wonder? Such a nice little peppy song people still play to this day, Walking on Sunshine. Katrina Leskanich? Katrina Leskanich is 65 years old today, which means that she was 23 when the song was a hit.
Oofers.
You're welcome. How's that sunshine feeling now? like it's wrinkling my old dry skin.
It's too hot outside. I didn't bring my SPF 100.
Oh, my. Yeah, there's a lot of folks who are big in the 80s and 90s are reaching their mid-60s in today's history lesson. Here's another one of them now, Brian Setzer from the Stray Cats, and had a great solo career of his own. He is 66 years old today. I don't care. You give me a stand-up bass in anything, and you can prove the band.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And when the drummer stands up while playing one snare drum,
yes,
and a kick drum and one cymbal, please, that's easy lifting.
I saw Brian Setzer, not with Stray Cats, but with a different backing band. Totally spontaneous thing. We were in Reno, and they said, oh, we got the show over here. Do you want to go? Sure, we'll go. Great show. One, love the people that don't just rely on, oh, this was a hit. I mean, they are showmen. Yeah. And Brian Setzer put on a great show.
Right now, he's dealing with an autoimmune disease that's left him unable to play guitar.
Oh, that is just sad.
Yeah.
Oh. The Titanic. Everybody remembers.
Never
the
heard of it.
Perfectly good ship, bad management.
The best ship, the best ship in the world.
Such a metaphor it has become. The Titanic began its maiden voyage on this day in 1912. It did not go well. On this day in 1925, The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald was published for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. Born on the same day, Brian Setzer was born this day in 1959, and he is 66 today. The same can be said for Kenneth Babyface Edmonds.
When you want things to get sexy, call Babyface.
This is your guy.
Yeah.
This is your guy. While he sings in the background, listen to this resume. Okay, in 1989, he co-founded LaFace Records with L.A. Reid. Their early artists were TLC, Usher, Tony Braxton. You heard of them? Yeah. He wrote The Whispers' Rock Steady. He wrote Boys to Men's End of the Road and I'll Make Love to You from 1994. Jeez. He wrote the Shoop Shoop Exhale song by Whitney Houston. And later, we'll hear him producing and singing in the background for Eric Clapton on Change the World. Pretty good.
He's okay. I mean, yeah. Derek Van Orden wouldn't respect his track record. But, you know, hey, Babyface, I guess you have some hits.
Yeah, I guess so. Happy 35th birthday to singer Maren Morris. So let's see, Maren Morris is 35 today. Mandy Moore is 41. Daisy Ridley is 33 today. And the late John Madden was born this day in 1936. And, you know, when we talk about some of the greats of our childhood, those of us a little bit older, and we talk about your Muhammad Ali's and your Michael Jordan's and things, you put John Madden right up there on the Mount Rushmore of being able to be an amazing championship coach.
Yeah.
And then bring that to the broadcast booth. Yeah. I will not forget the first time I heard him in the broadcast booth, and you're thinking, oh, God, who this dumb, boisterous coach is going to be there. And you hear the first boom, and you're like, this guy's really good.
And I heard a beautiful story about, I guess he was the Raiders were playing another team. One of the opposing players was injured, and John Madden made sure that he had round-the-clock care, access to car, food, like as he rehabilitated, and then said, from now on, you are a Raider. You are with us. You are ours. And he felt like he had to take care of this guy who was on another team. Like,
yeah,
I love those kinds of things, especially big manly men in sports doing stuff like that.
Sadly, that man would later pass away from eating a turducken. Well, it's just too much food for one guy recuperating from an injury. On this day in 1976, Peter Frampton had the number one album on the chart, Frampton Comes Alive. It was a juggernaut.
Do you know what this thing is, Pat?
What is it, Greg?
He's playing what's called a talk box. Okay. A talk box is a stop box pedal that has a clear plastic tube that's usually hooked to your microphone. And as you're playing your guitar, you put your mouth on the tube and you mouth the notes that you're playing. So it sounds like wow, 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 wow. It's a really weird thing. It gets gross after a while, but it's fun to play.
I was going to say, it turns you into Peter Griffith, it sounds like.
I love Peter Frampton.
On this day in 1970, Paul McCartney announced that he is leaving the Beatles. On that same day in 1970, Elton John's self-titled album was released, the first to be sold in America, and Your Song was the big hit off of that, his first one on the charts. On this day in 1985, Madonna began her first tour, the Virgin Tour, in Seattle. Her opening act was a petulant, little-known white rap trio called the Beastie Boys, who got booed throughout their set. And then things turned around.
They tell a story of that, like, they just wanted to be the most vile, disgusting, vulgar people. And then they show, like, and here was our audience, and they show an audience of, like, 9-year-old girls.
Sometimes the opening act is not, I don't know who picks these things.
She did. Sometimes. She loved them. She loved them.
Maybe that's maybe after that. Well, it worked. Look, it worked out for everybody.
Yeah.
So who am I to say? This is National Siblings Day. This is Global Work From Home Day, or from your daughter's home, as the case may be. This is and this is National Bookmobile Day, which I can't tell you the last time I saw a bookmobile. I know they're still out there.
Yeah.
I know they perform a great service. I just hadn't seen one. And I used to love those, the way that I'd love an ice cream truck in the neighborhood, too. Nerd. All right, we will have State Representative Tip McGuire, part of the second hour of Up North News Radio, live from Idaho on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.